Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning. I can sense the energy in the space as I'm listening to folks talk to one another and greet your neighbors. And I'm aware that we may have some guests with us today. If you see a guest or someone who looks like they haven't been here in a while, turn to them in a moment and just say, hello, welcome, I'm glad you're here. That is one way that we can extend our welcome to one another, and it's not always just coming from me standing in this spot in the morning. Whoever you are, wherever you came from, whatever you do professionally or in your spare time, there is always a place for you here at Greystone. All are welcome here, and we feel that we're better when we're together, and so thank you for being a part of that this morning in worship. Today we are continuing a theme of reading the texts from Luke chapter 5 on healing. So last week, you may remember, we read the story of Jesus healing a leper, and today we read another familiar story about Jesus healing a paralyzed man. And as we prepare ourselves, our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls for how God is working and teaching us in our own lives, let us worship God together in this space.
May these words call us into worship this morning. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall declare your praise. May it be so. Let's stand.
I'm so glad to see all of you. Can you all see? Because I've got something to show you in a minute. I want to tell you, first of all, in a little while, we're going to read a story from the Bible, and it was one of my favorite stories growing up. And actually, when I was about your age, I even made something to show what the story was like. So you may need to help me. In that story, there was a man who could not walk. He was paralyzed. And Jesus was in a house or somewhere, and there were all these people around him. So the man, it would be good if the man could get to Jesus, but if he couldn't walk, he couldn't get there on his own, right?
So his friends helped him get there.
Everett, you're exactly right. His friends helped him get there. And you know how they helped him get there? They carried him. They put him on something, and they carried him. But did they go through the door?
No, he went through the roof.
They went through the roof. That's what I thought was the coolest part about the story. That's right. They couldn't get through the crowd, but they said, "We're going to get him there. We'll go through the roof." So they had to move some tiles, and they let him down in front of Jesus. And what happened that day?
He could walk.
You're right. Jesus healed him. You know, we probably aren't going to have the chance to be in front of Jesus like that, but I want to show you some pictures that some of you are in. What was going on in this story, in this? You were planting seeds. Can everybody see? And why were you planting seeds? Right, Tana Grace. You planted seeds. I think they were lettuce seeds, somebody told me in the first service, see? And those grew into plants, and then they're going to go in the garden. And what happens to all that food that's in the garden then? The stuff from leftover on Wednesday nights goes to the compost. You're right. But the good food then goes to people who may not have food. So you have had a part in helping people get food that they wouldn't have otherwise. Now I want us to talk about something else that maybe you can help out a friend, like the friends helped the man that couldn't walk. Do you ever see anybody at school and they're sitting by themselves? They're just kind of lonesome. Maybe they don't have a lot of friends. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Well, those friends that took the man took him because he couldn't get there by himself. So one thing that you could do would be to go to friends when you see them and they look sad or they're by themselves and sit down and talk with them, right? And that way you're showing them that you love them and that God loves them. So this week, if you see somebody that looks like they need a friend, think about the man's friends who took him and went up on the roof because they were going to make sure he got the help he needed. And you think about, I can be that kind of friend to that person who looks like they need a friend. Okay? So you can go back to your seats. Thanks for helping me this morning.
As our children make their way back to their seats, I would ask that you turn towards the back of your prayer guide. That's where you'll find the prayer list. The prayer list is our concerns that church members share with the staff or with Sunday school members, with the church, and it's a way for us as a community to pray for each other. Now, there are many concerns that are not on this list, and so we do speak tenderly with each other and recognize the unspoken needs in this room. But there are some that have been named. And so this morning I would call your attention to Tommy Bennett, who's at Rex Hospital. She had a procedure on Friday. We celebrate with Ed and Cindy McDonald the birth of their grandchild, Everett. We also are grateful that Donna Nazer is here today and recovering from her recent surgery. Please do continue to remember the Mueller family. Their house fire causes lots of stress in that family, meaning they have to relocate, they have to hire contractors, their whole life is kind of topsy-turvy, and they are in need of your prayers. Also, please do remember Cotton Johnson this week as he takes the next steps in a treatment plan. And also remember Doug Eason at the death of his mother and Ron Thompson at the death of his dear friend. As we open our hearts and our spirits to the living and loving God, as we open those hearts, we also sing. We sing a song by John Bell that tells us we cannot measure how you heal. And as we sing and as we pray, know that there is a God who hears us. God of great compassion, we come to you with hopeful and trusting hearts. In our spoken words and in our deepest thoughts, we lift up to you the needs of ourselves and of this community. Sometimes out of necessity, sometimes out of desperation, we have taken to beds of pain and fear. Our soreness aches for your touch. Our guilt longs for your mercy. Our dis-ease seeks your healing. Grant us courage, Holy God. Courage to take those first steps towards you. Courage to open ourselves to your gracious and Holy Spirit. We pray that that Spirit would blow like a spring wind through the stale spaces of our being. Send us on our way, renewed. In every experience, through every distress of mind and body, keep us ever mindful that your presence is with us. You are very close at hand. We pray this prayer in honor and in praise of you, O God, who breaks the darkness. And we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our hope. Amen.
Thank you. Please pray with me. For the blessings of this and all of our days, we give you thanks, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just these gifts, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both in this place for the building up of your kingdom and the glory of your name. For it is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Our gospel lesson is from the 5th chapter of Luke. One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, just in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who's speaking blasphemies, and who can forgive sins but God alone?" And when Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they were glorified God, and they were filled with awe, and they said, "We have seen strange things today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every parent knows that there are many threshold moments in the life of a child. And many of them happen in that first year of parenting, the first day home from the hospital, before that, the first ride in the car.
first smile, first tooth breaks through, the first bite of rice cereal, the first word. And with each first, parents and grandparents alike gather around smartphones and video cameras just trying to capture the moment. But no matter how many cameras are set up, and no matter how many people are watching, no matter how many warning signs we have that a new development is about to occur, our children seem to surprise us and catch us off guard. They develop new skills without us even noticing it. I was in the sanctuary of College Park Baptist Church when Mia started crawling. After 10 months of watching and waiting, noticing when her friends started to crawl, she waited until the exact moment when I was conducting a wedding rehearsal in the sanctuary to start crawling in the nursery. I missed it, but my husband did take the ball that she was crawling after in hopes that she would do it again. It wasn't long after she started crawling that she took her first steps walking, and I was there for those. Justin was outside pressure washing the deck, so he missed him, but I scooped up our daughter and ran downstairs and called him inside and asked her to do it again, and the second steps were just as magical as the first. Even though Mia's steps were filled with excitement, they were filled with terror for us, for we had no idea what this change would mean for our lives. Suddenly, baby-proofing that thing we were going to do was too late. This was a whole new world for us. Those first steps meant that our daughter could now go places on her own, and her hands, they were liberated from the floor, and so now she could not only move places, but she could grab things. It was terrifying. This newfound skill, it was exhilarating for her, it was terrifying for us. And of course, we celebrated this moment like any responsible parent would, but a small part of us longed for the good old days, the days when we could swaddle her or put her in a swing or set her on a square play mat and know that she would still be there when we turned back around. Yes, we miss those days. They were familiar days. They were predictable. We could protect our daughter by keeping her exactly where we wanted her. But the better part of us knew that she would never grow into the full person that God had created her to be if we were going to leave her there on that square playmat. In today's reading from Luke's gospel, we find a story of first steps. A paralyzed man is lowered into a room full of people and laid at Jesus' feet. And Jesus heals him. He stands up, he takes his mat, and he walks out, taking first steps, one foot in front of another, into a whole new world. The miracle takes place inside a home where Jesus is either teaching or healing or both, we're not sure. Pharisees are gathered around to listen and learn and observe whatever might unfold. This is the first time in Luke's gospel that we meet the Pharisees, and while we know, because we've read ahead, that they will eventually be at odds with Jesus, this story does not begin that way. These Pharisees in this text have simply gathered to observe. Scholar Amy Jill Levine says it's more like a mass endorsement than a concerted assessment. These folks want to meet this Jesus that everyone's talking about. People had gathered from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the space was so full that all the entryways were blocked. No one could get in. This is a problem for the fire marshal and also for the men who arrive carrying their friend on a mat who is paralyzed and who needs to be healed. And Luke has already told us that Jesus is full of healing power on that day, but they can't get in. The doors are blocked. Luckily for the paralyzed man, his friends are dedicated and stubborn, and they will not let this be the end of it. No, they suddenly concoct a plan B, and they climb up onto the roof. They make a way, and they lower their friend down inside. This is one of those stories many of us have heard over and over again. Most of us could probably tell it without ever opening our Bibles. But it's also a problematic story for us because we see a man in need of physical healing, and the first thing that Jesus does is tell him his sins are forgiven. Now, as good readers of the whole Bible, we know that we should not give in to a superficial reading of this story, which might tempt us down paths that associate the paralysis as consequence of sin in his past. A quick read through the book of Job will correct that theological assumption. So why does Jesus respond the way that he does when he sees this man? Why does he say, "Your sins are forgiven"? Everyone around him that day probably expected a quick physical healing. After all, Jesus had been healing people throughout the region for days. Remember, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed the leper, and now we expect that he should heal the paralyzed man. Surely this is what the crowds were expecting. Word was out. We can also assume that the friends who carried the man up onto the roof, they also believed that Jesus would simply perform a physical healing. Why else would they go to such extreme measures? But when Jesus looks upon the man that day, he saw so much more than anyone in the room or on that roof could see. This week, an article was published and circulated widely on social media called "Grief Hides in the Church Bathroom." In it, the author describes a recent experience at church when she noticed a friend leave, crying in the middle of a joyous worship service. She slipped out the back and followed her friend and found her on the bathroom floor where she was crumpled over and weeping. The friend had recently lost her 8-month-old child and could no longer hold in the pain while others worshiped in celebration around her. Other churchgoers came and went as the two women huddled together, though others were unsure of what to say to them, and so they passed by. Reading the article made me wonder about the crowds who had gathered in that house that day. On their way in, had they passed by the paralyzed man? Had they looked upon him and thought, "God, I wish there was something I could do"? And because they were on their way, they weren't sure how to help, they just kept on going. Makes me wonder if we are the kind of people who would just keep on going. Makes me wonder if we're the kind of people who can grieve with our friends when everybody else wants to celebrate, or if we're the kind of people who would notice somebody crying on the bathroom floor and would sit with them on that floor, offering whatever it was that we had to offer, even if it was simply presence in the middle of deep pain. Are we the kind of people who would say, "I don't know how to fix your problem. I don't know how to heal your suffering, but I know someone who can, and I will sit here with you until you're ready, and I will walk with you all the way there, and I will carry you if that is what you need me to do"? Are we that kind of people? There are so many kinds of healing, and all of them are needed today. There is physical healing that is needed, for sure. But there is also emotional healing. There is social healing. There is political healing. There is spiritual healing. For the man in today's reading to be paralyzed meant that he was probably unable to participate in the fishing economy, probably unable to play an acceptable role in his social fabric, probably incapable of the independence required for dignity in his world. There was so much more than physical healing at stake that day, and nobody could see it. But Jesus saw it. The truth is, just like the paralyzed man and the grieving mother on the bathroom floor, we are all in need of all different kinds of healing. We are not physical bodies that operate separately from our spiritual selves, our social selves, our political selves, our economic selves. No, we are all whole, integrated beings operating in whole communities with whole and complicated and hurting people. It might be nice to imagine that we can separate one area of brokenness from another area of strength, but eventually we will have to come to terms with the fact that we are all connected in one body. All the people who had gathered in the room with Jesus that day, they were probably in need of some healing too. They might not have shown it in such a visible way as the paralytic. In fact, if they're like us, odds are they're trying to cover it up and pretend like everything's good. But we need to understand that in a room that full of people, a room so full that the doors are blocked, somebody's hurting, somebody is suffering, somebody is broken, and somebody is in desperate need of God's healing. And as we imagine that kind of room, that ancient room of people gathering around Jesus, it's not hard for us to imagine the same thing happening in this sanctuary. About each of us in this room carrying burdens that weigh heavily on us, struggles in our lives, some of them physical, some of them emotional, some of them spiritual, some of them social, all of them bound up together and held within our very bodies. Here we are, huddled up together, just like that crowded room around Jesus in the house that day, many of us unaware of the pain happening in our neighbors' lives. Many of us unsure how to bring healing to a hurting world. And we may not always know how to do it. Just like the Pharisees and the friends didn't know how to do it on that day, we cannot see things as fully as Jesus can, but we know that Jesus does indeed see things fully. What might happen if we learned from the friends who took those first steps, those steps toward the roof, the first steps holding the weight of the man, the first steps to move the tile, the first measures to lower the man down into the room, the first step out the door toward the bathroom, the first moment to crunch down on the floor, the first moment sitting, crying, holding one another on the floor. The friends in each of these stories, both ancient and modern, they show us what can happen when we take that first step toward listening to our sisters and brothers who are in need of healing. They show us what it means to bring them closer to the one who can heal all that is broken, even that which we cannot ever know or see. As people of faith, we are called to take those steps. In fact, those steps are the very definition of faith itself, at least according to Luke's gospel. When he saw their faith, the gospel says, faith that had legs and took steps onto the roof, faith that took steps toward a friend and lowered down the mat without ever wondering if healing was possible, this is what faith looks like. It looks like action. It looks like movement toward one another. It looks like friends willing to take a step together. It looks like people willing to heal that which is sick, to bring together that which is broken, to welcome those who are outcast, to sit with those who are vulnerable, and to carry all of it back into the middle of the room where Jesus is waiting with all of his healing power. And when we get there, carrying our own burdens and the burdens of our neighbors, the words that Jesus spoke to the paralytic that day are just the same as the words that Jesus speaks to us today. Friend, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and walk. With the Pharisees, we are learning that there is no difference between physical healing and spiritual healing. We are all mixed up parts, combined in one body that is both physical and spiritual, one body that God has created and named beloved. The question is, do we believe that God can heal us all, each and every part? And if we believe it, will we begin to take those first steps toward one another, even when it's painful? Or will we be more like those Pharisees and continue to pretend like we have it all together, failing to understand that God is here to heal us all? We have to take those first steps. Maybe the first step is asking somebody how they're doing and really listening when they answer. Maybe the first step is moving towards a friend who we already know is suffering. Maybe the first step is acknowledging our own pain, our own struggles, and our own brokenness. It doesn't matter whether we are laid out on a mat ourselves or if we are strong enough to carry it for someone else. We all need one another. And we need one another on this journey towards healing. And it all starts with the first step. Like a baby learning to walk for the first time, the risk is great, but the reward is greater. There is indeed healing on the other side. The question is, are we brave enough to take that first step?
pulling in the theme of last week, just thinking about yet another story here of how those on the outside are being moved toward the center. I think that's the Spirit of God, even in this moment, of asking us to come from the periphery to the center. And the ways that we can be used in that process, the process of bringing about peace in God's world. What ways do you need to respond? What words do you need to say as the Spirit prods us this morning? Perhaps the words that you might need are the words that we'll sing in just a moment. Here I am, Lord. Whatever it is, here I am. It's our way of saying yes. So as we sing this hymn of response, you respond. You may walk down forward, meet Pastor Chrissy here. Maybe you have a prayer request you'd like to offer. Maybe you'd like to join this community of faith. Whatever it is, Pastor Chrissy's here to welcome you. But we can all respond right from where we are. May we do that as we stand. Sing all stanzas here. Here I am, Lord.
Lifting our voices together in community, let us share the peace of Christ with one another. The peace of God be with you. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord on this day. We have much to celebrate this morning. A few friends that I would love to introduce you to. Oh, you can sit down, April tells me. This is my first time doing this, so I'm told I'm forgiven of all missteps, right? So first I'd like to ask for Becky Moore to come forward. Becky is known to some of you. She has been a member of our church for quite some time, but she is in a time of recommitment. And so we celebrate with her and as a community her recommitment to our congregation and her willingness to answer the call to rejoin Greystone as an active member. Becky, we welcome you, and we are so glad that you're here with us today. And then I would like to call forward Ben and Megan Mallard. They are bringing daughter Katie and sibling on the way to come very soon. Ben and Megan are joining us by transfer of letter from a sister congregation. We are so excited that you are with us and that you are deciding to say yes to God's call to join us as members at Greystone Baptist Church. We are better because all of you are here with us. Thank you for being a part of this community. So as is our custom, I would love to invite everyone to stand when we will read our mission statement. It's printed on the back of your worship guide and the bottom highlighted in green. So let us read that together. With Christ as the cornerstone, we will build a church of living stones where every member is a minister and is equipped to express God's love by word and deed to all people. Thank you. And if you will agree to accept these folks into our membership, please say so by saying thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Everyone can be seated, except for this family. Yes. Another exciting moment in the life of our church and a threshold moment in this family is when parents decide to dedicate their children to church in recognition of the spiritual partnership that belongs between parents and God and the body of Christ, which is the church. This morning, James and Julie Green have come to dedicate James Walker Green, who we know as Walker. It's funny, he's walking. Greystone, Walker will understand what it means to be a child of God, not just because his parents and his immediate family teach him, but because you are partners with them in this work. He needs to know what it means to be welcomed into the church and into the world and how to be a responsible participant in it. As part of his spiritual formation, Walker needs to know that you will welcome him, that you will love him, and that you will care for him as he grows. Greystone, this act of dedication is not for the Green family only, but also for you. You are being asked for a commitment and a promise this morning. Will you teach Walker the lessons of the gospel and show him in word and deed what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? If this is your intention and your commitment and your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will"? James and Julie, Walker does not belong solely to you. He is a gift of God given to you and to Mason for a reason. It is your calling as parents and siblings to help him know what it means to be a child of God. Will you keep him within the reach and influence of the church so that he will learn what it means to be a part of not just your family, but also to be a part of the family of God? Will you be caretakers of his life and raise him in the ways of faith so that he will learn the voice of God and be able to one day answer that call upon his own life? If this is your intention and your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will"?
We will.
James Walker Green is welcomed into the loving care of this church in the good hope that hereafter he may never be ashamed to confess that faith in Christ, which you as a family and as a community are challenged to cultivate from this day forward. May God bless us as we journey together in the bond of family.
All right, Walker, you ready for that walk we promised? Come in. It's okay. Mason can come with us if he wants. There you go. Oh, we're going to run. That's cool, too. Hey, Walker, these are going to be your Sunday school teachers, and they are going to teach you the songs of your faith. And they are going to give you chances to be a missionary. Which way are we going to go? This way? Yeah. They are going to make sure that you know the stories of your faith and that you know that God loves you. Yeah? They've already been rocking you in the nursery and playing with you outside. They already love you. We're giving high fives? Awesome. There we go. Yeah. You are already loved, and you are going to discover the love of this church more and more as you grow. Your mom and dad picked out a very special verse that they want you to know. More high fives. There you go. They want you to learn and know as you grow up. It's from Psalm 139, verse 14, and it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. And we hope that you learn that as you grow up and that you hold it near and dear to your heart. And we're going to say a prayer for you and your family and us, right? Because it's such an important thing to let you learn and grow here.
Walker is a man on a mission. Let us pray together. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of children, for the energy and healing laughter that they provide, and the ways that they teach us about the joy and the adventure of taking first steps. We give you thanks for parents who strive each and every day to raise their children in faith, teaching them the practices and the rhythms of life that will create a strong foundation upon which they can seek you in their life. On this day and in this holy moment, we ask for your special blessings upon Julie and James and Walker and Mason, that they might experience your love each day in their family, and that we, your church, might surround them with your love that heals all things. In the Spirit of Christ, we pray. Amen.
There are several things going on in the life of our church and ways that you can be a part of it. If you will notice there in your worship guide, there are lots of things going on. We'd love for you to just kind of read through those and take note of ways that you can be a part of each of those. Do remind you that there's a business meeting coming up next Sunday. If you want the information packet for that, it is on the table in the hallway. We'd love for you to grab that on your way out. On Wednesday, Cindy Bolden will be here on Wednesday night to discuss with us a place called A Place at the Table. It's a pay-as-you-can restaurant in downtown. It's a wonderful concept and a wonderful way to be a good neighbor. So this is part of our Meet Your Neighbors series, and we'd love for you to be here on Wednesday night. Also, if you'll notice, in your worship guide, there's mention of our Lenten study, a book by Brené Brown, Braving the Wilderness. You'll have lots of different opportunities to be parts of groups that are discussing this book and ways that it impacts our life and things that we can learn from it. One of the things you'll notice there in your bulletin is a post-it note. As you begin reading, you will learn that Brené says that one thing that she likes to do for herself is to give herself permission. Permission to just be. Permission to just be present. Permission for different things throughout her life and throughout her days, and she reminds herself of those by using post-it notes. So we've provided you with a post-it note that might be a good permission for you this week, and we invite you to take that and place it somewhere as a reminder for yourself as you go throughout your week. Let us continue in worship and song.
Y'all make sure you come greet them as you leave this morning, okay? I'm gonna live so God can use me
today. Don't forget to come forward, introduce yourself to these new members, and rejoice together and with them in their decision to come and to join and to recommit their lives to this church. As you leave, if you remember one thing today, aside from Walker's tour, which was amazing, leave knowing that God loves you, God made you, and God is here and able to hold on to all the pain that exists in the whole world and all the pain that exists in your life. God is here, God is able to heal you, and God is able to heal the whole world through you. So as you leave, leave with this blessing. May God give you the faith to know that God can truly heal all things. May God give you eyes to see all those who are hurting. May God give you arms willing to reach out and carry those who need to be carried. May God give you courage to take those first steps all the way to Jesus, who is waiting to heal us all. Amen.